for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out.
He's Andy Shilton.
And she's Steph Barnett. And today on the show,
LGBT plus helplines.
Bristol Mind will be joining us live to update us on their expansions.
And Chechnya.
Yeah, not a nice subject, but we'll be talking about that in a lot more detail.
All that and more today on Shout Out.
Hello, Lucy.
Oh, yeah, I'm surprised. You usually start off by singing along with the tune. You didn't this time.
Bum, bum.
There you go. Yeah. See, I missed that bit.
Yeah. I get bored of that backing track every now and again, just change it to something different.
Yeah.
But it was a Queer as Folk anthem for a while, back in the early days.
Maybe we should put it back to Queer as Folk.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to love it, because of course Queer as Folk hasn't been on TV since the 90s. So, well, it's been repeat, but the original. Mm. Do you remember the jingle? Oh, hang on. Sorry, Lucy. Wrong microphone.
'99 is that when it came? I've been talking all this time, Andy, and nobody knew. I was just here, the other side of the road, saying, "I speak, I've got things to say." And he muted me.
It's usually me does that too.
Well, I don't know. He wouldn't dare, surely.
It was airing in '96 and '97 because I was at uni while it was on, and that was when I was at uni.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It's probably just as I was becoming a grown-up person.
Yeah. Yes.
So, did you watch it though?
I did, but I didn't think I was gay at the time, so I was just sort of like, you know, watched it with detached interest. And
it's
went,
actually
oh,
it's actually quite horrific when you watch it back these days, because it was very classic of how the gay scene, certainly from a male perspective, yeah, was back then. I mean, it really was that promiscuous and that kind of, you know, in your face and like, and they portrayed how the gay scene, yeah, was at the time extremely well. And you watch it back now and I cringe when I watch it.
Wasn't the music fantastic though?
Oh yes, yeah, I got the CDs.
Oh, fantastic. Do you know, I thought you were leaving the studio then. I thought you got upset, Lucy.
No, I'm just jealous that I never got to experience the male gay scene. No, it's not going to work, no.
So, do you know, that's one of the few times I've experienced homophobia in my life was when I was buying the CD.
No way.
Yeah, I was in... do you remember there used to be a big Virgin Media store in Cribs? Nothing,
yes,
to do with Virgin, like,
yeah,
they just happened to,
yeah,
be the record
that
store.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was in there and I picked it up and this guy just walked past and spat on it and carried on walking.
You're kidding
me. No.
Wow.
No, I was quite taken aback at the time.
But
I mean,
you
that was 20 years ago, but...
That's not the point. That's got, no, to be quite shocking.
That,
yeah,
quite,
it was.
Yeah.
I was so shocked. I genuinely didn't know what to say and he was gone before I could do anything. So,
yes,
yeah.
Good soundtrack though.
Brilliant soundtrack.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
It
has a very
homophobia
odd ending. If you haven't watched it, apologies, because this is spoiler. Turn it off.
I think I do know.
The car
what the
flies off into the air, doesn't it? In the end,
is that not Thelma and Louise?
Yeah. Well, no, they go off a cliff.
Oh right. Okay. Okay. Could
slightly
use
different.
That. Let's just keep going. Okay.
Yeah, I have a feeling it was sort of an homage like that.
A little bit more upbeat than Thelma and Louise, though, because,
yeah,
that was ended in a note of upbeat desperation.
Yeah.
Really,
it is funny because I just spent the weekend in Manchester, and of course you walk around and although the names of the places and life change, it's still very similar to what it was.
So what do you think, if somebody was like sort of 16-17 now watching it, what do you think they would think of it? Not that you're 16
we
or
were all horrible people probably.
You had a lot of fun.
But we did have a lot of fun. Yeah, yeah.
Are we going to mention about London?
What about London?
You're taking me to London on Saturday.
Oh,
more to the point, I'm taking
me.
You.
So, yes, we are off to London to the British Podcast Awards.
Very cool.
Award ceremony.
Yes.
If you haven't voted for us, you have until 5 p.m. tomorrow, being Friday, in case you're listening on a repeat, to vote. Please, please, please go vote. BritishPodcastAwards.com/vote, and you just type in shout out and it pops up.
Yeah.
We would love your vote. It's not too late. So we're up for two, actually. The Guardian have just featured us.
Yes, I know. Yes.
Which was amazing. We're on the Guardian podcast. They've done a series of several podcasts that go through all the finalists and all the different categories.
Yeah.
And Shout Out is in there as well. We shared it on Facebook. So I was quite good because the British Podcast Awards tweeted us to tell us that they'd done it. So I was like, oh, that's really cool.
The thing is, once you get in the podcast world, then everybody's like name checking their favourite podcasts, and you're in thing, because it's being hosted by one of my favourite podcast presenters, who's Helen Saltzman. Yeah,
you know, it's her birthday on Saturday as well.
Oh right, yeah. Yeah. She does some brilliant. She does The Illusionist, which is a podcast all about the meaning of words and the history of it. And
I'm hoping we get to talk to her because my husband wrote into her and
long
conversation. On air on the podcast about what he wrote in about, so it'll be very interesting to see if she remembers. Yes, I am reliably informed this is her birthday on Saturday, so
happy birthday, Helen, we think you're great, so
I don't think
pressure. But we think you're great.
Come to Bristol, do a shout out with us. Talking of a shout out, have we got some events?
Yes we do. Cool. yes
So, how far into the future are we going?
We're going on to the 12th of May, so
not too far.
Not too far, but this event, it's almost like they knew it was going to get featured on this particular segment of the radio show. Yes, this is the event called Out to Shout. It's all good. Anyway, it's a really, really good cause. It's a fundraiser for Chechen queers LGBTQ community in Chechnya. Obviously, it's all come in recent weeks. It's really come to light the horrible extent of the atrocities that are being inflicted upon the LGBT. I mean, particularly, the LGBT Chechen community. So, and it has been really quite horrific. Obviously, there was the rally down on College.
On College Green
on Saturday.
Yes, we'll be talking about it later. Yep. Ella was there recording.
She went and featured it. Yes. Yeah. So this is going to be this is basically a fundraiser to send to it. The organizer, Luke Carter, he's just basically, you know, the international community cannot remain silent, and he's absolutely true. It's going to be taking place at Roll to Soul, it's the bike cafe in it's the Bristol. Community Bike Cafe, Roll for the Soul, on Key Street in central Bristol. There are events, there are details on their Facebook page, which I will talk about at the end of the show, but it's got to have a good lineup of bands, the bands sound great, actually. There's going to be Spunking Octochoke,
okay.
Which is a Bristol two-bit spunk rock band.
Spunk rock band.
Yeah. It's good.
Anyone know what spunk rock is?
Get down there and you'll find out, I think.
I'd rather not.
Maybe don't stand at the front. Domestic Sound Cupboard, who they come together to create improvised music from scratch. Glittersphyxia, a feral exhibitionist, sexually liberated, fantastical adventurer. And... Drunken Butterfly, who basically say, think Kim Gordon, Babes in Toyland, PJ Harvey and Patti Smith, all of which sound amazing. That's going to be going on Friday the 12th of May, starting from 7:30. Entry will be £5 on the door. So you don't pre-book your tickets, you just get in line and make sure you get there.
Cool.
And,
so a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, it will go to the Russian LGBT Network, who are offering support and counselling to those who are affected, and also coordinating evacuations of folk from Chechnya. So we'll put the Facebook page.
Can I just do the Western Supermare one, or have you got them?
You do it, Seth.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
This weekend is a fundraiser for Western Supermare Pride. It's all weekend. There's something happening every day. Friday the 28th, 8 p.m. is Lipinski, hosted by Fanny Burns. Saturday the 29th from 9, Pride's Got Talent. By the way, all these are at Cameo. And Sunday, it's a Pride quiz night. And on Monday, it's a meet and greet with Freddie Parker from X Factor. And hopefully I'm going to make it to do an interview with him before he gets involved with the club. Now, that's all happening, Western Supermare Cameo fundraiser for Western Supermare Pride.
Brilliant, cool. Now, do stay with us, because coming up later in the show, we will be talking a lot more about what's happened at Chechnya. But for now, thank you, Lucy.
You're welcome.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast. Sometimes
See, there we were talking about Queer as Folk. Well, that is actually from the Queer as Folk album, that. That's
More spooky as well is on Monday's H&H, I played about half a dozen in a row from Queer as Folk.
Yeah, that's Sometimes by Erasure. So it's a, I forgot to write down. I normally write down what mix it is. That's a, it's one that's on the Queer as Folk album. That's classic, that one.
Yeah, excellent. In the studio, we've been joined by Bobby and Liz from Mindline, in brackets, and Transline, which is a new line. Do you know what I didn't know? Because you've been in before, Liz. What I didn't know is that Mindline started in 1965, when I was 12 years old. You don't look that old.
I hate to ruffle your feathers, Steffi, but I was born in 1965, so there's no
point. Really?
I wasn't there myself.
Would have been difficult.
Exactly. Well, actually, there's a slight tweak to that. It's actually National Mind was founded in 1965. Right. And then subsequently, local charities, so-called local mind associations, have set up over the years. And they're the ones that you see in Taunton, in Yeovil, in Dorset, those local mind associations. So they're independent, small charities that are affiliated to National Mind. And so Bristol Mind started actually about 21 years ago, and it was Mindline that was the first service that Bristol Mind offers now.
Was it developed actually from when you first started into something completely different, all-encompassing, or is it basically you've kept to your roots?
It has developed. I mean, we started 21 years ago, opening one night a week, and that was as is now. That's the callers received support from volunteers, but since then, so Bristol Mind has expanded to an advocacy service, a counselling service, the trans service, which we've just got now, which we've been running since February, a training project, and so yeah, so we have expanded and trying to meet the need of certainly local Bristol, our local Bristol community.
But you also actually covered the South West as well, didn't
yes,
you?
That is new for us. So the trans service, it's a joint service with Taunton Mind, and it's been funded by National Mind. There was a small amount of money that they felt was really important that the LGBT community, in terms of mental health, there's a lot of a lack of support, perhaps specifically trans. So they decided, after a conference last year in January, that actually the two minds in the local area, Taunton and Bristol, they both have a mind line, and why not, you know, fund these two services to kind of come together and provide a trans night for people to call. So that's the Friday and the Monday nights that we're operating now.
Right. Bobby, over to you. You actually operate the phone lines?
Yeah, I'm one of the volunteers. We take calls from various people. I work on the Mind Line and on the Trans Line.
Oh, right, okay. Do you take calls from all over the South West, or is it mainly focused in the Bristol area?
We've had calls from pretty much everywhere in the South West over the last few weeks. It's a very broad spectrum of where they're coming from, but mostly focused from Bristol.
Right. Do you find it traumatic being on at the end of a phone for a few hours?
It can be exhausting, but it's generally quite... It feels good to be able to help people, so it gives me a warm
feeling.
Right,
so though you've got to go through the down bit because you're obviously talking to somebody who's struggling, you actually then come away feeling quite a buzz then, I take it, because you feel as though you've helped.
It must be quite rewarding when you help someone through it. Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we don't want to ask you specific cases, but can you give us some kind of idea of the kind of issues people have that they might phone in and talk to you about?
Well, on the trans line, we've had callers who are taking the very, very first steps out into the world as trans, you know, having been in the closet all their life, and then it's going from that sort of caller to callers who transitioned many, many years ago and just want to have a little bit of emotional support. We've also taken a few calls from supporters of trans people who wanted to know a bit more information about, you know, how to help their loved one. We can't really give advice on that, but we can support them and get, you know, give emotional support even to the friends and allies.
Now, it's quite restricted, isn't it, the trans line, in time-wise, and when people can actually phone in?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we limit the calls to 30 minutes. Right. It's it's a sort of idea of we can give the maximum effect in the shortest time. Like any counselling type contract, you have to have a start and an end, and it does help the actual caller to get to the point, I suppose.
I get some completion in the time they're talking to you, I suppose. If you tugged at the phone line for the whole evening, it would cut off a few other people as well, I suppose.
There is that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we are sort of aware that it's a new service and it's not as busy as it could be. And I think one of the things that I wanted to sort of put out tonight as sort of a bit of a plea is that perhaps people listening can go onto our website and have a look at the service, and there's actually going to be a PDF on there of the leaflet of the service when it's open, and actually print it out for us and put it up in your local community, because actually the calls we're getting are people who are vaguely connected, they've got some kind of support network, and I'm my sense is that people are out there that perhaps aren't at all connected to anybody else, who are living quite an isolated experience, and perhaps that's affecting their mental health. So it'd be really great if the people listening tonight would go onto our website, download the PDF, make that your little mission to take it to your favourite cafe or your library or your GP or your gym or wherever that you can put up a leaflet, a flyer, because it's just in those sort of moments when somebody walks past a cafe or whatever, and they see a flyer and think, oh, I know someone that might benefit from that. And
well, we've put the Transline logo with the phone numbers and the times you're open on with the trans flag in the background. We've put that on our Facebook. Fantastic. We tweeted it today, and also put it on other people's Facebook pages like LGBT Bristol.
Lovely.
So it's got around
today. It's getting out there. Yeah, lovely.
It's one of the hardest things, isn't it? It's getting the word out there. I mean, advertising, as any company will tell you, it's one of the most expensive things you do, let alone when you're a charity trying to get the word out. So it does all help. But are you looking the other way as well? If the line starts expanding, are you looking for more volunteers to open it up for more hours?
We are. Currently, we're just about to start another training, and we'll have more volunteers coming through that over the next 6 weeks. So in terms of how volunteers are supported, when Jane was talking about the kind of, you can get quite distressing calls, but the volunteers have gone through a 6-week training to get that kind of the skills to listen. They get a debriefing, they get supervision after the shifts to kind of talk about how they've been on the line, etc. But we'll be advertising on our website when we're recruiting again. We've just finished the recruitment, so we're up and running again for another. And in terms of expansion, we'd love to. I mean, that's one of the things, is trying to perhaps engage with the Southwest local community to fund this to continue, because we've got funding for a year. So let's hope it continues.
I mean, because one of the questions I was going to ask, obviously, because you're so far rich because you're Southwest, and you said you're doing the trans line with Taunton, did you say?
That's right, yeah.
I mean, have you noticed that there is a difference between the attitudes and the issues that people have in big cities versus those that are a bit more rural? Is it harder, do you think, for people that are a bit more rural in smaller communities?
Well, I would say that we would need to look at that as we get more calls. But I think the issues that face very early stage trans people who are the first stages coming out are the same wherever they are. And it's the isolation. You can be isolated in the middle of a city. Mm. You can be isolated in a green field near Padstow.
Right. Yeah. So it's all good stuff. It's brilliant to hear. Yeah. Brilliant to hear that, because the trans line's got quite a new thing, isn't it? You said
it is. It is new. I'm not aware of. I mean, there are some very effective, well-established charities, the Intercom Trust, and people like that, who are supporting LGBT community in the Southwest. But specifically trans, no. I don't. I think this is the only one that I know of. And it's a very supportive, holding kind of process. Callers will be listened to where they're at in that moment, and there's no pressure to talk or no pressure to kind of make decisions about anything. It's really there to just try and help with generally keeping buoyant and And connecting people to other groups if they want to, you know, if they can ask for information, signposting.
Are you thinking of moving further south at all, past Taunton and moving further into Devon and Cornwall?
Mind itself, there are mines, and I think the furthest one I know is somewhere down in Carrick in Cornwall. So there are local mines spread out down through the southwest, and we're sort of working with them to try and advertise the service there. So the Transline itself, we're taking calls from anywhere from Wiltshire west down into Cornwall, North Somerset, Devon, so Dorset. It's a quite a broad area.
Right. Is the National Mine Line thinking of taking this up and going national? Or are you going to actually take responsibility and be the national call line?
We don't know yet what will happen there. I mean, we would love to take it up if it became a national... If basically National Mine said to us, do you want to make this a national helpline? That would be fantastic, and we would look at developing that.
Right.
And that would be based in Bristol and Taunton down here in the southwest. But we haven't got to that yet. I think what we need to do is make sure we reach this pocket of the UK and support people. And yes, because I think the need is there. I mean, you know, we only have to look at statistics around attempted suicide and national statistics, and it really, it's definitely there, and it's just about getting the word out now and encouraging people to be brave, to pick up the phone and ring. And we're gentle, we're kind, we're compassionate people on the end of the phone here. We just want to support people. So
we are rapidly running out of time, but obviously it's not just the trans line. Your line also deals with anyone with mental health issues.
Yeah.
So, but give our listeners some details. So when can they call you for the two different
services? So Mine Line, which is the service we've been running for over 20 years, very LGBT friendly. We have, in part of the training, we look at diversity and equality, and we are, you know, we are about non-prejudice for anybody. So we can ring there. You can ring on 5 nights a week. It's open from Wednesday through to Sunday. The number is 0808 808 0330. And again, that's 5 nights from Wednesday through to Sunday. And the trans service is open on a Monday and a Friday evening, the same times, 8 till midnight. And the number there, it's 0300 330 5468.
Brilliant, cool. Well, listen, it's lovely to catch up with you and meet you, Bobby, as well. Best of luck with it. And hopefully next time we'll be talking to you, you'll be coming in to tell us that you're going 7 nights a week and the trans line's getting bigger. So.
Brilliant.
But it's lovely because, of course, there's a huge decline in services happening, not just in the LGBT community, but across all of them, especially the charities as well. So it's lovely to see that you guys are surviving. So we will do what we always do. We will make sure that we put all the details up against the podcast on our show, on our website as well. But for now, thank you both for joining us, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Omi. Is it Omi? I'm sure you call it Omi, don't you? Not Omi. Omi, yeah. The cheerleader. Steph was a cheerleader once.
Oh, did you know that?
Yeah. I've seen you do pom-poms.
Okay. I got a good pair of legs.
Have you? Yeah. Sorry.
It's got a very complicated history. It's down in the Caucasus near Georgia, near the Caspian Sea.
Right.
If you look that up. It existed as a republic within the old communist Soviet Union, during which it's a very conservative area, it's a very Muslim population with very conservative ideas about family, men and women and so on. It suffered greatly at the hands of Stalin, who was obviously dictator of the Soviet Union up until 1953. Many people were deported and killed. After the Soviet Union and its associated type of communism collapsed in 1991, there was a brief period of independence. War and insurgency killing thousands of people has seen Chechnya reabsorbed into the Russian Federation as a semi-autonomous region. Violence is endemic, and the complex position politically is compounded by the activity of Islamist militants. Now, Wikipedia reports that the effective warlord leader, and he is effectively a warlord, a man called Ramzan Kadyrov, has been in control of the district for 10 years. His regime is characterized, this is what Wikipedia says, by endemic high-level corruption and a human rights record which is summarized as terrible. Now, one of the few independent newspapers in Russia called, you'll have to help me on pronunciation, Ivan.
Yes.
Is it Novaya Gazeta?
It's Novaya Gazeta.
Reported on the 1st of April.
That's impressive, that around, mate.
That around 100 gay men had been rounded up and imprisoned in Chechnya, with three being murdered and the rest held in a concentration camp facility. Since then, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty and other human rights groups have learned that there may be up to four detention centres currently operating.
When you say detention camps and the like, because most people think World War II.
Yeah.
And that, is it that style of place?
As far as we know, yes. People are being held, let me see, according to my notes, people, according to Radio Free Europe, and the Guardian newspaper, people are being held up to 40 to 50 in a room and being tortured with electricity. A report which has been published this evening on Pink News, obviously the LGBT newswire, says that it's gay men are being tortured with electric shock treatment and being asked, who else do you know? You know, who else is gay? Who else can we round up?
So well, I read somewhere as well that families are having to bribe the police to get their relatives back as well.
So we understand.
But I would imagine, especially if it's a conservative country, there may be some that don't want to do that.
Well, you see, there's been a lot of criticism from human rights groups and politicians in the West. The official line of the spokesman for Ramzan Kadyrov and for the Chechen government, effective government, is that there is no such thing as LGBT people in Chechnya. So we can't be persecuting them because they don't exist. If they did exist, their families would kill them, and that's
the problem.
The line, that's the line.
They can't return to their families because of these so-called honor killings that would take place if they were to do that. So they're in a catch-22 situation. These poor people.
Is it me, or is it just reminiscent of Nazi occupation in across Europe? It's that kind of style, isn't it? So is he really that corrupt, this guy?
Well, there's part of a wider issue which is affecting Russia, as you know. Russia as a whole is quite conservative, not nearly as conservative as this Chechen region, but there are laws in place to stop what they call gay propaganda. Gay meetings and marches and so on are routinely harassed. The gay press is harassed. Gay websites are harassed.
Originally, I think that Putin controls Chechnya because of the Islamist insurgency. And so he paid this warlord to actually run the country on his behalf. And although this guy is even worse than Putin, Putin just lets it carry on because it keeps the Islamists
under control.
Oh, is that that's the history?
That's the history.
I didn't excuse anything they're doing, mind.
Oh, absolutely not. But that's Putin's logic. It's better to have some thug in charge of a country than have Islamist militants coming in from the south.
Have we, as a country, made an official statement or said we'll do something to help? Or
I believe I did see that Theresa May had made a statement. I know American senators and people in the House of Representatives have made statements. But there's only so much they can do at the moment. You know, at the moment when you're looking in on another country.
And it's low on the agenda at the moment with the election coming up as well. Sorry, Ella.
Yeah, no, sorry, Ivan. I understood that a statement had been made on behalf of Theresa May, but that she herself had not actually spoken out, that it was a junior foreign ambassador who made the statement on her behalf, and that statement, whilst condemnatory, was overall quite neutral in tone. It wasn't a very strong message at all. And again, it wasn't actually said by Theresa May herself.
Can I ask you all your opinions, what you think that protests and politicians in the West, what it's actually going to do in practice?
The best form of protest that anybody could take part in at the moment is signing the Amnesty International petition. There's a link to it on the Shout
Out website.
That's true.
Well, what I'm saying is that what effect will that have on somebody like Putin? And this guy's 10 times worse than Putin.
Well, yeah, obviously the only person that isn't going to be able to affect this, affect change in Chechnya is Vladimir Putin. And I'm going to make a really important point here, and this is something that Stonewall's asked as well, that people do not post pictures of Vladimir Putin in compromising situations or comical.
It just inflames
because
it
does. Yeah. And it's, you know, if you're trying to get somebody to do something or change, the worst thing you can do is actually ridicule them like this, because in a situation like this where people's lives are at stake, it's really important that, you know, you try and get that person on your side. And okay, Vladimir Putin isn't the most desirable person to have to do business with, but you have to do business with him, and he's the only person who can affect change.
But it's going to take the top of the country, isn't it? It's going to take the Prime Minister and probably even the President of the US to influence, because Russia is huge. You know, it's a massive, great place, and it's quite a power as far as that goes in the world.
It's a superpower. So.
Now, of course, we've had a lot of demonstrations going on. They haven't been overly well reported from what I've seen, just my personal opinion. I mean, I've hardly seen them on the news at all. But Ella, you were there, weren't you?
I was at the demonstration on Saturday, which was organised by Forzana Khanum, who's a student at the university in Bristol, but it was in conjunction with a series of protests and rallies across Britain organised by Amnesty International LGBT. So yeah, it was interesting. I can speak more about it if you'd like.
Well, I was going to say, we're going to do a special, we're going to have an emergency editing session after this show, but we're going to do a special shout-out After Dark broadcast this evening at midnight, and it'll also be available for podcast, where you can hear the full audio that you managed to get from the day. But for now, here's a few of the more poignant clips that you picked out.
Okay. We've had some discussion on the Facebook sort of event about why Chechnya, why not just LGBT rights in general. Just want to make a comment about the broader aspect of this and what's happening in Chechnya. As has been mentioned by all of us, what's happening in Chechnya is a sudden backwards turn towards the concentration camps that we saw in Nazi Germany. It's a part of history that we do not want to return to and that we should not return to. It should be, you know, unilaterally condemned, and we're not seeing that condemnation. And we're seeing a lot of apathy. And we saw what happened when apathy was, you know, rampant across Europe. And we don't want to see that again.
They've been very slow to pick this up in the mainstream media. So we need to help raise our voice so that the international media picks this up. And we also need to keep up the pressure on the Chechenian officials, and, as Vizana said, our own government, to actually speak up and speak out about this.
Write to the Prime Minister. She will be the Prime Minister until the general election. Personally, I hope she's not the Prime Minister afterwards, because I want a Prime Minister who, at a point of human rights abuse like a concentration camp in Chechnya, doesn't leave it a week for a junior Foreign Office minister to make a subdued statement. I want a Prime Minister who stands up for human rights here and around the world. I'm really sorry that we don't have LGBT Conservatives here. I'm really sorry that the other parties haven't chosen at short notice to turn out. That says something about them in my books. Go and question them about it. Let's speak as a united voice from the UK that LGBT rights and human rights matter.
There you go. Apologies for the generator in the back there. Ella was there going, I could get the generator out. So it's more important and more poignant about what they were actually saying rather than that. So it sounded like quite a fiercely fought rally type of thing. They sounded quite well. I don't know. I don't want to say G'd up. It doesn't sound right, but you know what I mean. They seem to be really passionate about what they were saying.
It was. There was definitely anger. There was definitely compassion. There were a lot of comparisons to Nazi Germany, but there was also a lot of frustration about the lack of response on behalf of the UK to this situation, and a lot of frustration about politics and political parties. I spoke to some people at the rally who didn't want their voices to be recorded, but who felt that LGBT Conservatives weren't represented. And you might have noticed there was a bit where Chris Benber Berthy for LGBT Labour mentioned there were no Conservatives there. They were invited. I spoke to the organisers, but unfortunately nobody else could make it. And I wanted to just make that clear. Of course, we are radio. We strive to be politically neutral. So no one was left out. It, unfortunately, they weren't there.
Well, Ivan, give us a summary, because there may be people listening who are now going to go and read all about it and probably be quite horrified by what they see. Amnesty International appointed people in one particular direction. They want to help Stonewall.
There's lots of petitions out there, which is fantastic, but the problem with having lots of petitions is that the overall effect gets diluted. So what Stonewall are saying, please sign the Amnesty petition. They have a lot of clout. We have a link to that petition on our Facebook page and also on our shoutoutradio.lgbt show page as well. So the link will be associated with the show that you're listening to tonight.
Cool. Now, as I said, we are going to do a very special shout out after dark this evening, broadcast on BCFM from midnight, and it'll be available on podcast tomorrow if you want to download it from our website, where you'll be able to hear Ella and Terry talk in a bit more detail about it and a lot more of the audio from the event. So, but for now, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Steffi remixed that one.
Nice. Is that Riding High on the Hit Parade this week?
No, that's an older song, that one. It's called Bomb Bomb by Sam and the Womp.
That's
the Wookiee remix. Hence why I said it's a Steffi remix.
What are you trying to say? I'm hairy?
Would I? Still, anyway, that's a fun one. I like that. So. Now, last couple of minutes of the show, must do another reminder. We are off this Saturday. Ivan, we can tell you haven't been here for ages. I'm sure you don't know, honest.
Oh, right. We're off
to the British Podcast Awards. Ooh. Don't you know? Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes. I've got to find a shirt yet.
Break a leg.
We'll cover that one another time. But yes, we are in the finals for the Current Affairs Award. But there is also an award you, as our listeners, can vote for, which is the Listener Choice Award, and we would love it if you would vote for us. Just go to britishpodcastawards.com/vote and you'll see a little box. You just type in Shout Out and let you vote for us. So wow. It closes at 5 p.m. tomorrow, so if you're listening on the podcast on Saturday, we're already on our way,
and hopefully we'll do pretty well. But do you know what, it's such a fantastic achievement to actually even get that far.
I know, yes.
Some of the people we're up against,
and The Economist.
Amazing.
Like, I'm not sure if you guys have said this already, but one of the things that I think is so amazing as someone quite new to the show is that we're the only people in the current affairs category not paid to do our job.
That's
which
true.
Is pretty cool. Go us.
Yeah, go us. There you go.
Do you scrub up well, Ella? You're coming on Saturday, aren't you?
Did she scrub
could
up well?
Possibly say.
The girl's glowing all the time.
She doesn't normally stay still for long enough to see, to be honest.
No, you take a picture and there's motion blur. You can't actually...
I'm very jealous not being there myself. I'm sure it's going to be a very glamorous affair.
Yes.
It's great. It's a leg.
In the centre of London.
And
is
promising not to wear jeans, Ivan.
No, I am. I am wearing a suit.
Yep, that's good.
Yes,
PVC?
I did tweet them and ask them what it was, and they just said, like, you're going to your mate's party.
Yeah, but that's jeans.
Yeah, some of the parties that some of us may have gone to overtime might not be appropriate.
So I blame it on Ivan if we're overdressed.
You can't be overdressed if you're getting a gong, can you, really?
Well, we might not. You never know.
Or not getting a gong, still.
Still an achievement to go there.
You'd still be in the photos.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Do wish us luck in the British Podcast Awards on Saturday. Can't wait.
As soon as we know, we'll let you know too. Just check us out on Facebook, Twitter, or our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, we'll be back and we're touching on religion again. So, but for myself and the rest of the team, everyone say bye-bye.
Bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.